Medical doctors advise that you should not listen to the following podcast if you have a history of swelling. And if you do have a history of swelling, please return it to the library so that other people can read it too. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
Steve, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Hi, this is Pat. Shortly after Lisa and I recorded the following podcast, we learned that the great Quincy Jones had died at the age of 91.
We are the world. We are the children.
Quincy Jones was a true musical genius. Among other things, he produced the top-selling album ever, Thriller, with Michael Jackson. Quincy Jones, though, got his big start in Seattle, of all places. We'll talk about Quincy Jones much more on our next go-round. Meanwhile, here's what we got this time. Hey, what's going on?
Are you talking to me again?
Why do you do that? I'm looking around. Yeah, it's you.
Why do you just say, hey, Lise, what's up?
That never occurred to me. Let me write that down for next
what's
time. Would you say, hey, Lise?
What's up?
Why wouldn't I just finish off your name? Lisa. I mean, just one more syllable. I mean,
you used to write notes to me and you'd spell it Lease, LEASE-UH.
Yeah. Well, I went to public schools. What are you going to do?
You're a good speller.
Yeah,
I used to date a guy that was such a poor he didn't know how to start a conversation. The way he would start a conversation was, what's up? And it just infuriated me. It was like, really? That's how you're going to start the conversation? What's up? Do you have anything else? Like, maybe you want to ask me how that class I took went the other day. Maybe you want to check in and see, you know, how baby Sherman's doing. No, just a very generic what's up.
Well, in his defense, I think what's up encompasses every topic. So you would eat, the baby Sherman would be included in that. How you did in that class would be included in that. It's just saying, hey, bring everything to me right now. I don't need to get specific. I know you got a lot of things going on. Lay them on me.
You see, you're so funny. That just feels lazy to me. It's like I have to do all the work to figure out what thing am I going to bring up. And then the other thing I hate, now that you got me on the topic, is when I'm, you know, dating somebody and they'll say, so, tell me about you. Okay, my name's Lisa. I don't know what to say. It's too vague.
I didn't realize this was a job interview.
No, not that. I don't mind questions, but be a little more specific. Tell me about you. Well, is there anything specific you are curious about? It just feels lazy to me.
Have you ever decided immediately when you met someone?
Uh-huh, yes, I have.
This ain't going to happen. So,
oh, yeah.
So when
yeah.
they ask you, tell yeah. me about you, you start riffing and giving exaggerated things. Well, you know, after I got out of prison, I, and by the way, I did not kill those four people. No, wait. five.
Yeah.
I did not kill those five people. I mean, I don't think I did. But anyway, I was pretty high on drugs at the time. But anyway, and when I got out of jail, I said, God, I don't have any money. So, hey, there's a liquor store. I think I'll knock it off. And I did. I got away with it. And then all of a sudden I said, hey, if I did it once, I can do it twice. And I kept doing it and kept doing it. I mean, do you ever
just go into a weird-ass riff
like that, knowing that I don't care if it damages the relationship because there's not going to be one?
I should, but you know what I've normally done is I've just made a really lame excuse for having to go much sooner than I would have if it were a good date. Like one time I met a guy for brunch, and this was years and years and years ago, and I met him for, and here's the thing, you don't make a brunch date for the first date. That's too much of a commitment.
Yeah,
it's like, I'll go get a glass of water with you. That's about all I'm gonna, or a cup of coffee. That's it.
Yeah, because when you go on that
the brunch date's not a quick one.
Well, no, first of all, it's not a quick one. Who's gonna pick up the tab for this?
Is it me? Don't care about that. I don't care about that.
You don't think about that?
No. I don't expect. No, I'll split the tab. I don't expect somebody to pick it up on the first. That's not the thing. I don't care about that. It's the length of time I'm committed to this person that I don't want to sit with and watch eating. By the way, if I already don't like you when you've walked in the door, I can tell you I'm certainly not going to want to watch you eat.
I love that. I love that idea. So watching somebody eat is enough. Could be enough to say, that's it. We're done. He's got a bunch of bread and stuff smashed in between his teeth. He's eating with his mouth open. There's stuff dribbling mustard on his shirt.
He holds his fork with the fork, his hand over the fork instead of under the, you know what I'm talking about? Hold the fork over the fork handle rather than under the fork handle. You know what I'm talking about? Can you get a visual on that?
Well, not exactly. But
It's kind of a shoveling thing when you do it that way. You can just shovel it in. But anyway, so I met this guy for brunch and I'm sitting there waiting for him and I'm sitting there and I'm seeing random people come in and, you know, a guy here or there. And then this guy kind of comes in and I'm thinking to myself, please don't be him. Please don't be him. Hi, how are you? And it was him.
Oh, no.
So I knew,
it's that kind of dread you have when you're flying solo on an airplane and you see this huge, gigantic, sweaty-looking person with a horn sticking out of their head, and you just know they're going to sit next to you. You just know it.
Yeah.
And it's almost 100%.
I sat behind a guy once on those little planes that don't have the head rest, you know, the little commuter plane I would take to see you and Patty and Ben.
They're just little
place. And I sat behind a guy that had a big old weeping sore on the back of his head, and I thought I was going to vomit the entire trip. It was just horrendous. So anyway, so brunch guy gets there, and I'm like, okay, I'm not sitting here for 2 hours brunching him. And I said, he said, so what are your plans today? And I don't know why I just pulled this out of my butt, but I said, I have to go build a fence. And I don't know. I didn't have to go build a fence, but I told him.
It's so random that it seems plausible.
It seems plausible. And I used my friend Trixie. I threw her under the bus because I said, I have to go help my friend Trixie build a fence. So she and I still laugh about that to this day.
That's good.
That was my excuse. And he bought it. He totally bought it.
Well, it doesn't sound... I have to go to church or something. But that is so specific that you wouldn't challenge it.
Yeah. So anyway, I interrupted you. You were about to talk about dead people, weren't you?
Hello, everyone. This is your captain speaking. With the man with the running sore on the back of his head, please come forward. We want to give you a free meal today. Thank you, sir.
It was awful. I couldn't take my eyes off it. I wanted to take my eyes off it, but you can't. It's sitting there for an hour and a half staring at you. It's like it had its own eyes. It's like it had its own face.
Did they serve food on this flight?
No, not the little commuter flights they don't. You know that. You have to bring your own snacks.
They didn't bring you bread or something that you could have dipped into.
I could have peeled off a piece and stuck it to the back of his head, is what you're saying?
Oh, gosh. No. Hey, you remember one time on the radio? Hey, let me get this obituary business out of the way. I don't have many. I'm going to economize like you implicitly recommended last time.
Oh,
just
got
a handful here, okay?
Okay.
See, now we're having a fun conversation. Now I'm going to bring everything down. But it'll be short, okay?
I'm going to write down the, hold on, because I know you. I'm going to write down, do you remember that one time when we were on the radio? So keep that in your head.
Okay.
Because you're going to tell a story about that.
Yes.
Have you already forgotten what you were going to say?
I don't think so. Maybe I have.
What do you mean, maybe you have?
Well, I might have.
Oh, jeez. Okay, do your thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain again. The fact of the matter is that I also have a running sore on the back of my head. Maybe that's why I'm partial to the person sitting next to the woman there who can't stop staring at his head. That doesn't help, okay? Just don't look away, please, ma'am. We'll send you a free Sprite.
No, he wasn't sitting next to me. He was sitting in front of me.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, I didn't realize that I was that capable of hearing seven rows back.
Yeah, go fly the plane.
Here, unfortunately, are some who passed away during our last, maybe during or because of our last podcast.
Right.
I'm going to start with one you've never heard of before, a man named Dub Jones.
Did you say Dub like D as in David, U as in unicorn, B as in boy?
Dub. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Not Dub. Doug.
Dub.
Not Doug.
I have a friend named Dub.
Dub.
Did you know that?
A friend named Dub or Doug?
Dub.
What kind of name is that?
Is it short for something? His first name and middle name is Dale William. So they call him D.W. Everybody shorts it to Dub. So that's the named Dub. Anyway, Dub Jones was a football player for the Cleveland Browns. Back in 1951, he scored 6 touchdowns for the Browns, and that was over the Chicago Bears. But Dub Jones now, with his passing at 99 years of age, is believed to be the last oldest NFL player. And now he's gone. NFL players don't live that long, Jim. Especially those in the 70s and 80s. They would eat at these big tables, eat their meals, you know, at training camp, because they wanted to get them bigger and bigger. So when they retire, that's the habit, is to eat too much food. They get really big, really fat, sometimes diabetic, and they don't live as long.
You don't think it's because they've been slammed in the head 8,000 times?
That can't be the reason.
Yeah, that's what I think it is.
That doesn't help.
No.
A woman named Mimi Hines passed on, 91 years old.
Kiss me. Kiss me.
High energy performer. She did an act with her husband for many years. His name was Phil Ford. But she replaced Barbara Streisand on Broadway in Funny Girl.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy, I'm a tons of all of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade.
Barbara Streisand said, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And that'd be a ridiculous act to follow. But she did very well. A different kind of Funny Girl character than Barbara Streisand. But she did okay. Anyway, she's gone. And then finally, this one is tough, too, because who didn't like Terry Garr?
Ugh.
She was 79 years old when she passed. She's had multiple sclerosis since well over 25 years, I would say. In 2002, she went public with her MS, But prior to that, and she was a favorite, I remember, on the Letterman show. She'd come on. He loved having her on.
He did. I saw a clip of her with Letterman recently because of her passing, and it's just delightful, as always.
Oh, yes. I'm going to go do a movie with Richard Dreyfuss now in Miami.
Oh, you were with him in Close Encounters of the Third
Kind. Yes, I was.
She was in movies like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And Young Frankenstein.
My favorite.
Oh, hello. Would you like to have a roll in the hay? It's fun. Roll in the hay.
I loved her. So my favorite Terry Garr is Young Frankenstein.
What knockers.
Oh. Thank you, Doctor.
And then Tootsie. I loved her in Tootsie as well.
I never said, I love you, I don't care about I love you. I read The Second Sex. I read The Cinderella Complex. I'm responsible for my own orgasm. I don't care. I just don't like to be lied to.
She got it was an Oscar nominee for that movie, in fact. Mostly movies in the 70s and 80s, and then she got ill and eventually disappeared from public view. But really a sweet talent. And that's my list this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
So when we were on the radio together, I would sometimes succumb to the whims of the program director or other people and say, hey, you know what you should have on? People love people who can predict the future, or they are soothsayers, or they can look at you and they can predict your future.
Went to the fortune teller, had my fortune read. While looking at the fortune teller, I fell in love.
I think all that stuff's a bunch of crap, but
I do,
you know, but it always, the phones light up when you put people like that on. And so
I know.
I said, okay. So we had this woman on that could look at you. And I don't know if you were there that day, but she would look at you and then could tell you, or purported to tell you, what your future held. And she said she could see your aura. Were you there that?
I don't remember if I was there that day. Do you not remember her name?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
But there's a million of them. But she said, I can see your aura. And so from seeing your aura, which I guess is some kind of halo or something.
Yeah, it's a color. It's like, like if you have a black aura, that's not good, I don't think.
Well, she looked at me, I remember, and maybe it's because I was somewhat skeptical of it. I kept making fun of her, but she finally said, in a light sort of way. I don't want to disrespect anybody.
Of course.
They seem sincere enough, but she said, oh, no. I guess, what is it? Oh, I don't even know if I should tell you this or not. What is it? Your aura is cracked.
Oh. You could read my mind, love. What a tale my thoughts could tell.
I said, what does that mean?
I didn't know. Yeah, what does that mean?
It's like I've got a broken aura. I said, well, can I get a new one? She said, no, this is what you have. I just wish you the best of luck in the remainder of your life. May it be a long...
With
your cracked aura. So then I felt compelled, when I went to other jobs or met other people, that I thought, I got to tell them I got a cracked aura. They need to know this. I got to be upfront with everybody. So, Mr. Cashman, your resume looks fine here. Is there anything else you want to tell us? Yeah, I need to tell you that I got a cracked aura. Oh, yes. I could tell the moment you walked into the room. You sound like just the person we want here at Rite Aid. So I got a cracked aura. That's the whole story.
And that's you're living with a cracked aura now? Because I'm looking it up, and this is not looking good, Pat. I'm looking broken aura. Yeah, you've got some issues, my friend.
I don't know if mine's broken, but it's cracked.
Well, that's broken.
It's going to break.
Yeah. No, it's broken. In your aura, apparently, is some sort of a boundary that sort of says where you end and the world begins. So if your aura is cracked, you're like unprotected or something. I don't know what's going on. Let me look into this. I'll go back to you.
All right.
And do you have a credit card handy?
Yes.
Because I think I could fix. That's a good. We should get into that racket, fixing people's cracked auras.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, if you're listening right now and would like, just send your aura to us. There's some kind of an address, I think, on our website.
Yeah, just email it to us.
We'll check it out. We could put, you know, some kind of glue on it or something to at least keep it around for a little longer. But
hey, exactly.
Not looking good. Hey, I got to tell you something that happened to me yesterday. I went to this grocery store.
Yeah.
And I'm standing in line there. And there's a
kind of... Are you minding your own business?
Oh, I always do, Lisa. Oh, my, yes. But I'm standing in line behind, and there's two customers in front of me. And they're both older women. Okay.
Okay.
Older than me, if you can believe it.
Wow.
By the way, my wife and I were talking the other night, and she said, "Do you want to be cremated or buried?" And then I remembered I'd read this. Somebody said this one time. Surprise me.
That's funny.
We'll see how that turs out. But anyway,
okay, so you're
in the
store.
Yeah, I'm standing
in the store.
In line.
You're in line, minding your own business. Two women are behind you or in front of you?
In front of me. And there's a male that is checking out the groceries, a young man. And so the first woman walks up to him with her grocery purchases. And he says, "Hi there, young lady."
Oh.
And she's got to be 85.
Yeah.
If she likes that or not, she didn't register anything in particular.
Yeah, that's
clever. She pays for her groceries and then she leaves. And then the next older woman, she's definitely an older person. She comes forward with her groceries and he says, "Hi there, young lady." So he says the same salutation to her that she said to the first woman. Yeah. Okay, now here's the thing.
What?
Then I come up and he says, "Hey there, old timer."
Oh.
"Oh man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were." "Oh man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were."
So, what
did that make you feel?
Well, that's what I wasn't sure how I should feel. Should the women who were called young ladies be offended, or should I be more offended by old timer?
I don't know that it has to be one or the other. I think both can exist together. Like
I'm an older man now, but I've never been called old timer in my life.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If you had walked up to the cash register and he had said to you, "Hello there, young lady," how would that have made you feel?
Well, then I would realize this guy's just on autopilot and he doesn't even pay any attention to who's coming up. No, he distinctly looked at me and then said, "Hi, old timer."
Old timer. Oh, boy.
"You got to hide it, hide it, hide the old man is down the road."
Yeah, I don't know. That feels very... I would say, coming from a younger person, that to me is inappropriate. Well, that's what I'm saying. If we're all the same age, we're all old, and then we do that, I think, I don't know why that feels fine to me, but it's not. You need to shut your little trap, little Mr. Young Man, and just don't even editorialize on your
right. Yeah, that's what I feel. Don't.
Yeah,
don't,
yeah, yeah.
Don't offer your opinion on our.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be counting the rings on our stump, you know.
It feels very ageist to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to hit him with my cane. I got so upset.
But it feels very sarcastic, too. There's a sarcastic tone, not with you, but with the women. Hey there, young lady.
No, but I think I think in this guy's mind, he thought this is...
He was being complimentary or charming.
Not even complimentary, but charming.
Yeah.
Friendly. I don't think he thought he was being off-putting. He probably does it for every customer every day. And so it's just part of his shtick, but... It just kind of caught me off guard a little bit.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Did you hit him with your cane?
No, but I did pull my teeth out and throw those at him.
Good idea.
Don't worry. I got them back. Yeah.
Good idea. Hey, speaking of old ladies, I...
What about it?
Okay, right there. So this is what I want to ask you.
Yeah.
When you do... I thought you were going to tell this story and then you were going to... say what the lady said and use a lady voice. And I noticed when you produced the podcast episode last week, which the joke was hilarious, but the joke had two women in the joke and you had a couple of different voices for them. But I'm curious because I don't know that you're, and I'm not criticizing you. I'm not criticizing you.
All right.
But I'm just curious that why every time you do a woman voice, doesn't matter what, like you didn't even in the jokes last week say these two older women came in and sat next to the guy in the theater, the guy with the chicken in his pants. You just said two women came in and sat, and then you did old lady voice. Do you have any other voices for women other than old? Why do you always make them old lady voices?
Well, I guess I could do a falsetto voice. No, I don't have a much
range. I never hear you do that. Well, you do, basically, you have two different lady voices.
Yeah. Well, referring back to that joke again, the guy had a chicken in his pants, and the chicken's head popped out of his zipper. And then it just seemed to me that it would be more, it was a funnier joke that these women are older, because one says to the other, well, you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Okay,
and then the other woman says, well, I've never seen one that eats popcorn before. That was the joke, as you remember.
And it's still funny, even though you just didn't really do the joke, but you just did a synopsis
But you have to admit, you picture two older women observing this. If they were young women or teenagers, it wouldn't be...
That's not my question. You've had plenty of stories you've told me over the years that featured a woman. And regardless of the age of the woman, you've always done old lady voices for the woman. That's why I was just wondering what your range of... It just was something I was pondering last night because I had nothing else to do. And I'm like, what? Does Pat have any other women voices? You've got a lot. Here's the thing. You've got a million guy voices. You can do... guy voices from here to next week, but I feel like you're a little limited on the
That's a fair criticism. Yeah,
I'm not really criticizing. It's just an observation.
I think what I should do from now on is not do any jokes that include women. Stick to what I know.
You might not be able to after the election, so just say it.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
However the election turned out.
However the election has turned out, which we don't know right now as we're taping, but we will know once we post this, so who knows?
Yeah.
You may never hear from us again. I may not be allowed to do podcasts anymore. Did you hear? Did you know that, Pat?
Yeah, I know. And you might even wind up in jail. I hope you don't.
Again.
But I will come to visit you if I'm allowed to. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I went to a different store. This was Fred Meyer. There was a guy. I didn't know this at first, but I walked in there. I was walking around with my cart, and all of a sudden, we heard this. And everybody, it was funny, Lisa, everybody sort of ducked down, and they started looking around. And this little town I live in, Bend, Oregon, had an incident about 2 years ago at a Safeway store.
Yeah.
Where a guy went off on some people and shot and killed a guy.
Yeah.
And so maybe that makes it even more locally worrisome. But everybody's, I didn't see anybody actually hitting the ground. But when they heard that big pop go off, they looked very concerned. I saw one woman go back out the door of the supermarket.
Yep. See ya.
And then a little more time goes by. Everybody seems to have settled down. And we heard this again. And I'm thinking, holy crap, what's going on here? And I happen to go by where they have a display of flowers. And there's a guy who's been filling up balloons.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And these balloons are balloons popping. Like, he thinks it's kind of funny that he's popping.
Mm-hmm.
It occurred to me that you should, assistant manager or manager, should get on the intercom, which gives me another opportunity, by the way, to use my device here.
Your echo microphone.
My
Go
echo
ahead.
Microphone. And get on and say,
ladies and gentlemen, we know you are concerned at the loud, sorry about how much echo I have here. Let me adjust that. Is that better? Not really.
It's the same. Just continue, store manager.
All right. Oh, now I don't have any echo. Here, let me work there. That's better. I only got one echo apparently.
Well, Fred Meyer is a big store, so this makes sense.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fred Meyer. That popping noise you just heard was an idiot who's going to be fired, by the way. Popping balloons almost on purpose over there, thinking it's really hilarious. And he's scaring the shit out of you customers. So, Larry, in fact, I mean that quite literally. Larry, can we get a cleanup on aisle 11, please? Thank you.
All around the mulberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel. The monkey thought it was all in good fun.
That's something that I wouldn't not even have paid any attention to years ago. But now,
no kidding.
Every time you hear a car backfiring or some loud noise, people flinch. This is the world we're living in now. And
that's right.
That's all I got to say about that, except if you go to Fred Meyer, it might not be a bad idea to wear a bulletproof vest. You never know. Got another question for you.
What?
I think this is one we've talked about before. But
maybe I've changed my mind, though, so it's always a good idea to ask me again.
Okay. So I performed 6 wedding ceremonies, as I've told you before.
Yes.
And I like to tell people my record is 6-0. It has been very good. And now I am sorry to say that apparently my record is 5-1.
Still a good record, Pat. It's nothing to be ashamed about.
But this is one of the more recent weddings that I have presided over. So for it to have ended so quickly is upsetting to me.
Hmm.
Obviously.
So
my question is, should there be a statute of limitations on wedding presents?
Oh, yes.
Don't you think? I mean, I can't remember for sure, but I think we gave this couple a barbecue and a really nice one, too.
Oh, gosh. That's what you're given for wedding presents?
Well, this is a relative. One of the parties was a relative.
Because barbecues aren't cheap, man.
No, well, we got a cheap one. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. You gave them a cheap barbecue?
Yeah. Actually, we got it at Used Barbecue World. And it was up from a hibachi, but it wasn't one of those big old flame-throwing giant
like
barbecue.
Webmaster. Yeah. Flame-throwing barbecue. I've never heard of a flame-throwing barbecue, but that sounds pretty.
That's my question to you is, should there be, if a marriage doesn't last a reasonable amount of time, shouldn't you get your presents back?
No. No.
No?
But here's what...
What if it only lasts a day or two?
Let me tell you what my thought is on this.
Right.
I think that every guest should have some sort of a scoring system on what they believe the longevity or the legitimacy of this union is going to be. And okay. that is how you decide then the level of the gift that you give them. So if you think these people are going to, because you got to give a gift. I mean, if you're going to the party and they're buying you, you know, chicken or fish and, you know, dinner, whatever, you got to bring a present. But if you score them low on longevity, then I would just get them like, I don't know, a towel. Here's your towel.
One towel. Would it be a hand towel?
One towel. Yeah, a hand towel.
Yeah, okay.
If you score them, and I'd have to kind of have to think on the actual scoring system on to come up with this. But if you score them high, then yeah, you get them the flamethrower barbecue. Hmm. But you don't get the hand towel back if they only last a week.
You're
out one hand towel. It's no big whoop.
I don't know where that big bing came from. If you're only getting them a hand towel, though, Lisa, follow me on this.
I am.
Are you not sending a message to them that says, I don't think you guys are going to work out, so I'm just going to give you the hand towel. Doesn't that send a message to the newly betrothed that, well, nobody believes that we're going to be married very long anyway, so maybe we shouldn't stay married because nobody thinks we're going to be married very long anyway. And so let's just break this up right now. Because who wants a crummy hand towel?
Not my problem. That's not my problem. That's their problem.
Yeah.
That's not my problem.
I don't have an answer for it, but my mentality is that yes, you got to at least try to work this thing out. If you're having a dispute this early in your marriage, at least show an effort to hang in there for a while longer, or I want my hand towel back and my barbecue.
And my shitty barbecue. How do you know they haven't been working things out, trying to work things out? And maybe they're all the better for that, for going, you know what, let's just cut our losses and you take the hand towel, or let's give Pat his hand towel back.
Well, that's done. Fair. That's fair enough. I don't know what it had been a relationship that was going on for 3 years or so. So when my parents got married, they barely knew each other.
Yeah.
My mom lived in Chicago. My dad lived here in Central Oregon. I think he met her a couple times. He would go back on the train back in those days. So I'm much more in favor of this idea where people get to know each other for a long time. They maybe live together is even better, which my mom would be apoplectic about if she heard me saying that. But
well, when she found out about you and Patty, you know, living together and you weren't married?
Oh, we never lived together, Lisa. No,
oh, I thought you did.
No, we didn't. Yeah, we did. Oh. We did. I put up this big front.
Yeah, you didn't. Okay.
Did I tell you about that?
Yeah, you told us what I'm saying.
I ostensibly paid rent and lived with these two other guys.
Right.
Yeah, but I was never there. I was always over at my later to be wife's house or apartment. That's where I'd sleep the night there and all of that. But one time I just happened to be at the other guy's place. And this was before cell phones, so you had to call a landline. And I just happened to be there. Maybe I was picking up another pair of pants or something. And the phone rings and I pick it up. Oh, hi, Mom. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, you can always reach me here. Yeah. Oh, doing good. Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I was, not to my credit, I was carrying on a bit of a charade. Just for the benefit of my mom. I could have saved myself the rent I was paying with these other two guys.
Yeah.
I've been more upfront about it, but that's a long story. But This is a very...
Well, and you came from a Catholic upbringing, so you must have felt, what I can't even imagine.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even imagine without Catholic guilt. Something rather gruesome to bring up. Do you mind?
Oh, I'd love it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Gruesome? Are you kidding me? Yes.
You just jumped up like a golden retriever with your tail wagging at that.
Hey, before we leave that previous topic, did I tell you about the time Patty and I went to a wedding and we got the date wrong, and we go to this place and the wedding's over and there's a reception. We bought a present. We set the present on the table full of presents.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, there she is. Her name was Barb. I go up and I tap Barb on the shoulder in her wedding dress. She wheels around. It's not Barb. It's somebody else.
Oh, my God.
And I'd gotten the wedding date wrong. It was going to be the next weekend, not that weekend. So we quickly go out and I forgot. And I go back and I grab our present off the table, head out the door, and some guy starts running after me. Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You put that back. And so I had to explain to him, I'm sorry, we came to the wrong wedding. This is present intended for somebody else. Why do I have to explain that to this guy? Just butt out.
Yeah.
What
do you mean butt out? Of course you have to explain to him. Some jackass takes a present off the gift table. Of course he's going to share a few and find out what the hell your problem is.
Well, I said to him, why would I take that specific gift? I don't even know what's in it. I mean, how do you know that I know? Why didn't I take a whole bunch of them with me? No, I take this specific one because that's the one I brought. But this is not the wedding I was bringing it to. And, you know, he finally settled down and went back.
I think he was well within his rights, sir. I think he was well within reason there.
Well, I suppose. But anyway. First of all, I was embarrassed. And so we just wanted to get out of there. Okay, so back to your gruesome story.
So I read a very brief blurb in one of our favorite magazines that I don't know if you still get, called The Week,
They started getting, their price got so ridiculously high that I said,
I still love it, and it's the best of U.S. and international media. So the nice thing about this magazine is it's pulling stories from all sources. So it's actually, I find, fascinating.
It's a great magazine.
So I read this, and I did not know this happened, and I wanted to know if you knew that this happened, because you and Patty have had horses. And how long have you guys had horses? I know you don't have a horse now, but...
Yeah, we do. We do. We are that horse.
Horse. You still have that horse.
Yeah, we moved it down here to Central Oregon with us, and it's stabled a few miles from here. That horse is going to be 30 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, horses, that's an old horse. She doesn't ride it anymore, of course. It's expensive to keep a horse. I mean, this is several hundred dollars a month.
Why is it so pricey? Is it their food or what?
Treatments? Well, it's the lodging for the horse, take care of it. It's the food, and then this horse also has various maladies, so it needs medicines, and, you know, we need a blacksmith or a farrier to come by every so often.
A shoe guy.
Yeah, so there's a lot, and it adds up, and so it's a thing. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name.
Has to do with climate change and the risk of, I still can't believe this when I read it. Apparently, in Wyoming, the U.S. Forest Service announced that because conditions are really dry right now in the fall, and there's a high risk of wildfires, that they're going to pause the practice of blowing up dead horses in the Wyoming backcountry. And apparently there's an actual manual about how to obliterate animal carcasses with explosives, and blowing up the dead horses makes them less attractive to grizzly bears. So, and they, I am not
grizzly
kidding.
Grizzly bears like meat, but they don't like hash.
Exactly. Apparently once you can blow up a, a carcass to where you didn't even know there was, you know, it was a horse at all. It's just, like you said, it's just hash. I did not. Every day I wake up and I think, what the hell horrible thing am I going to learn today? And that's what I learned that the other day that I had to ask you about. If you knew that that's how they get rid of dead horses, they blow them up.
Well, that's not the standard practice, I don't believe. I
mean, it is. It is the standard practice.
No.
That's why they
maybe
have to put
Wyoming,
a stop to
not,
it.
Not around here. Not around the Northwest.
What do they do with dead horses here?
It's actually a specialized thing where somebody has to come. I had to oversee two of our previous horses being euthanized, and my wife couldn't stand it. She stayed up at the house, and I went down and they brought these people there from the veterinary office, and they, you know, they used two hypodermic needles that they shoot straight into the horse's heart. And they said, one of two things can happen. Either the horse is going to go crazy and run around,
or
it's going to just fall down. And luckily, it did just fall down. But
and
then
they take it away, and what do they do with it? How do you know they're not blowing it up?
Well, maybe they are, but they brought this truck that they winched it into the truck. And it turns out there was a bunch of other detritus in there, too, of other animals.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is so horrible.
It is horrible. But it also made me imagine a situation, like for a sketch or something, where and the truck is open. I mean, it's got high walls on the bed of the truck, so you can't see inside, but it's otherwise open. So you could just step up onto the bumper and look inside, and you'd see what was in there. So my wild imagining was that this, after winching the horse in, these guys who were driving the truck stop at a convenience store to go get a Slurpee or something, and the truck gets stolen while they're in there. But the guys who steal the truck, they don't know what's in the back. And then merriment ensues after that.
And I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Okay, but anyway, so I think that's what happens. A lot of people dig really, they have to bring a backhoe in and they dig really deep holes so that they can keep the horse on their property.
On their property. So there's not like a horse cemetery is what you're saying.
There is, and I don't know a lot about it, but I've always heard that it was somewhere south of Olympia. There's a big... In Washington State, at any rate, there's a big area where that is specifically what they do with these large animals. They could be zoo animals, horses, cows, whatever.
Okay.
And it's a place where it's a repository for them. That's all I know.
Well, the U.S. Forest Service, this is routine, apparently, that they would blow up these dead horses, but they had to always make sure they removed the horseshoes. So he would minimize the hazard of metal debris flying in your eye.
Ooh. Leonard Jenkins, 76, was killed by a horseshoe yesterday.
So I don't know what they're going to do now, because they're trying again to, they don't want the grizzly bears. You know, I guess they're pretty hungry in Wyoming but then I'm thinking, well, why don't you just let the grizzly bears eat the horses? Then they're not going to eat the people. None of this is making sense to me. None of it. None of us make sense, but
maybe we can figure it out in our next episode.
I'll be working on this. I have several things I need to work on apparently.
All right.
So
okay. Are you ready for this closing hilarity?
Yes.
A guy who smelled like a distillery flopped onto a subway seat next to a priest. The guy's tie was stained, his face was plastered with red lipstick, he had a half-empty bottle of gin sticking out of his coat pocket, and he opened his newspaper and he began reading, and he hadn't said anything to the priest up till that point, and then after a few minutes of reading the newspaper, the disheveled guy turned to the priest and said, Say, Father, what causes arthritis?
Well, it's caused by loose living, being with cheap, wicked women, by drinking too much alcohol, and having a contempt for your fellow man. That's what causes arthritis.
Wow.
Oh, I'll be darned. And he goes back to the newspaper. So the priest thought about what he had said, and he nudged the man, and he said, I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to come on quite that strong. How long have you had arthritis? The guy said, I don't have arthritis, Father, but I was just reading here in the newspaper that the Pope does.
Wait, what? I don't get it. Why don't I get it? I don't get it. Can you draw me a picture, a graph?
This is really awkward.
Okay. No, come on. So
you're usually pretty sharp on these things.
Well, maybe it's not me, Pat. Maybe.
All right,
sir. Maybe it's the
integrity of the joke. Your nose all bent out of joint.
No, my nose is all bent out of shape because you think it's me, and it could just be your joke. Can you explain it to me?
No, I think it's you. All right, let me explain it to you again.
Okay. Don't do the whole joke. Just say, okay, drunk guy.
Okay,
remember
what the priest said about what causes arthritis.
Right.
Okay?
Loose women and drinking
too much and having contempt for your fellow man. And then he said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to come on that strong. How long have you had arthritis? Yeah. And the guy says, I don't have it, but I was reading that the Pope has it.
So the Pope is
crying out loud. Forget it.
God, I don't get it. Oh, man, take a look at my life. Oh, man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. I would look in my eyes and you can tell.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.